What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
One thing that Daryl Glover and I can agree on, we're ready. We are totally pumped to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Vision Expo West, September 26th through the 29th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. It's your chance to get world-class education on both practice management and ocular disease, with new courses added in trending topics like ocular aesthetics, crafting the patient experience, and what you need to know about private equity. The comprehensive program features over 300 hours of education and 23 specialty tracks, providing education for the entire staff and all aspects of an eye care and eyewear practice or retail business. You know, for opticians and contact lens technicians, Opticon at Vision Expo is making its debut at Vision Expo West. This value-based package includes 15 hours of ABO and NCLE approved at continuing education, exhibit hall passes, and invites to exclusive events, including a welcome party and peer-to-peer networking opportunities. And the exhibit hall is the ultimate shopping experience. It's got 4,000 plus eyewear brands, plus the latest technologies and medical equipment on display for you to try out and see how it's going to fit into your practice. But why do we love Vision Expo, Daryl? Because it's our chance to see you guys. The networking and fun to be had at Vision Expo West is unparalleled, with the always popular ODs on Facebook party and social events opening to eye care young professionals. Join us by registering today at visionexpolv.com/defocusmedia. One thing's for sure, I'm ready. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, and I am joined by my partner, Dr. Daryl Glover.
What's up, Jen?
Daryl, I'm super excited today because we have an eye care celebrity on the show.
Totally, and she's killing the game, Jen. Friends and family, I'd like to welcome Sophia, the Monocle Muse.
Hi guys, it's so nice to be here.
So Sophia, your Instagram account is just crazy popular. I remember when it first started and you were getting hundreds and hundreds of followers a day. You're up over 11,000 followers now, and you have very much a fashion account plus a eyewear account.
Yeah, I think when I first originally started it, it was really, you know, eyewear was supposed to be the niche, and that was the focus. And it's still, I try to make it as much the focus as possible. So I try to put a pair of glasses in every photo, but it's kind of morphed into this more like lifestyle, travel, fashion blog. And so it's kind of nice because it kind of marries all my different passions, and it's been a lot of fun.
Why did you start your Instagram account? What inspired that?
So for me, it was very much a creative outlet when it started. It was just, you know, something to do outside of work that would just kind of feed the creative side of my brain. And I've always loved photography. I've always loved fashion. It's always been a big part of my life. And so it was like a really easy transition to say, you know, why don't I start something that kind of involves fashion, involves photography. And it also lends to the optometry side of things too, with the eyewear aspect. So it was kind of just something that I could do outside of work that would just feed that side of my brain.
Awesome. And tell us, how did you get into the wonderful world of optometry?
I was actually, I started out selling glasses. This was probably, oh my God, back like 10, 11 years ago now. I was working at an optometry clinic, and really it was not because I was interested. It was more because it was a close clinic to my school, and I was like working to pay off my tuition in undergrad. And at the time I was in bio, and I was kind of toying with the idea of switching into business because it's also something I really enjoy and I'm really interested in. And the optometrist I was working for was like, you know, you love fashion and you love business and you're a bio major. Optometry really does go hand in hand with all three of those things. And he was kind of the one that guided me into the field. And I'm really happy I chose it. I think it's a really good work-life balance. It's great for a woman. And it really does, you know, involve all three of those things. There's the medical aspect, the helping people, the business aspect, and the fashion aspect. And it's been great.
I love that you talk about optometry as a fashion career, because I know when I first went to optometry school, that never crossed my mind, but it is so true.
Right? You have to know like what the latest styles are and keep up to date on, you know, the latest trends and the latest, you know, designers that are coming out. And so that part I really enjoy.
So tell us a little bit more about your style then.
I always describe my style as being like very classic, but having a little bit of a twist or a little bit of an edge. So I love like solids. I love like classic, you know, silhouettes and pieces, but I love adding a little bit of, you know, pizzazz here and there and just kind of making it a little bit weird and a little myself.
How do you incorporate your love for fashion into the exam room and seeing patients within your optometry practice?
Well, it's like a running joke because, you know, at my clinic, they want us to wear a white coat. And I'm like, no, 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 it's like a straight jacket. Like, I hate wearing my white coat because I'm like always joking, like I have to like show off my outfit because I'm always like, I love dressing up. My office is right in like Midtown Manhattan. And so, you know, everyone around there is, you know, pretty stylish and dressed up. And so I love dressing up to work and having it be a part of my, you know, my work identity as well.
That is such a debate. Daryl, do you wear a white coat at work?
I've never wore a white coat in my life. Well, maybe when I was in school, but even then I went against the grain and didn't wear it most of the time. It's not me.
It's not me. I feel like my patients are more comfortable with me when they can just talk to someone who's not wearing a white coat. It just feels, I don't know, it feels more comfortable, more relaxed. I like that environment.
Yeah. When I go to work, I love to look fly. You know, I have to look dressed and impressed. You know, I want to hear a compliment every single day. I'm not fishing for them, but I like to hear that. Wow, Dr. Glove, you look great today. I love your socks. I love your glasses. I love your shoes. You know, I want them to, you know, come in and just feel like we're out on the street, just hanging out, kicking out and just having a good time. That way we can have a better relationship in that exam room.
I love it. I love it.
You guys have definitely convinced me over the years that this is the way I need to go too. I used to wear a white coat. I haven't for the last couple of years. And then I'll sometimes be at events or things. I'll be surprised if people will say, oh, where's your white coat? I thought you'd be wearing that. And I'm like, no, that's not part of my optometric right now.
Well, funny you say that, Jen. I know when I was in school or when I graduated from optometry school, a lot of my female friends, colleagues, they told me they wore a white coat just to get more respect from some of the patients that came in particular some guys. I mean, did you ever feel that way when you got out of optometry school?
Yeah, that's why I originally started wearing it. Sophia, what about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I was first starting out, and I still get comments all the time because, I mean, we're young and we're females. You know, I always get the like, when's the doctor coming in? And I was like, what? You're looking at her, you know what I mean? But I definitely think it adds to that. But I'm at a point now where I'm like, you know, they should respect us for just, you know, being in our field. And I feel like I don't want to have to wear the white coat just to you know, prove that. Or
I think you just nailed it on your head. When patients say that and they tell you like, oh, I'm a little uncomfortable. Who are you? And you make it like, oh, it's not a big deal. I'm your doctor. We're going to have such a great time. Like that's the confidence that the white coat would give to a person. So you have that confidence just in how you counter what the patient was saying.
Yeah. You just have to be like, you know what? You're in good hands and this is how it's going to be. And, you know, just have the confidence to be like, I'm your doctor. And let's go.
Well, we really wanted to talk to you today about obviously your social media success, because what you're doing for optometry on your Instagram platform is just really, really amazing with the way you're connecting with people from all across different industries, different walks of life. I want to kind of break down some of your secrets for success, because a lot of optometrists on social media struggle to know how to make it actually effective marketing tool, both for themselves as optometrists in their career and of course for their practices. So would you mind sharing some of your inside tips?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, from the get-go, it's always been about quality and original content. I think a lot of people will engage more with content that is original. I see a lot of optometries doing this very well. You know, they have like the brands that they're carrying and they, you know, photograph them really beautifully and they photograph the inside of their clinics and all of those original pieces of content, I think, get a lot more engagement. And the other thing is engaging with your audience. And so, you know, responding back to comments, you know, answering DMs, just really making it feel like you're friends with them and you care and you want to engage with them. And I feel like I've made so many friends on this platform, including you two. And so it's been, you know, it's just like a very cool way to connect with people all over. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's just quality and, you know, originality and kind of finding your niche too, like finding what makes you different and focusing on that. So if there's like a certain brand or line that an optometry carries that a lot of other people aren't carrying, or if you have a really cool office space, or if you, I don't know, like have a clinic dog or something like that, like just finding a niche and kind of running with that and making yourself different. I think that's what it is.
Well, you definitely have quality written all over you whenever you look at your Instagram page.
Thank
from,
you
know, your captions to even the photos. I mean, what are you doing for your photography? Are you using a camera? Are you using a cell phone?
Yeah.
Are you editing them? I mean, what's the secret to your success there?
So I have a couple of photographers who I've been really fortunate enough to connect with in New York that I've from a very early part of when the Monocle Muse started, we connected and we built a good relationship. So I've worked with, you know, probably three or four of them consistently. And then I also have a Sony camera myself, where when I'm on vacation or, you know, traveling with friends, I have them shoot and then I edit and just use, you know, different apps. Sorry, there's some background noise. Some apps and stuff to edit those photographs myself when I'm on the go. And then a lot of times my filler photos, you know, my flat lays and things like that are all on my phone, and then I just edit them from there.
So let's talk about flat lays a little bit more. I mean, that's a huge thing when it comes to social media.
Yeah.
But we've actually never actually addressed that on the show, Jen. I mean, I don't ever recall anyone ever telling us how to do a flat lay, what to look for, and, you know, just how to make them look beautiful. So can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Absolutely. It is all about the lighting. Honestly, it's like if you are in, I would always say bright, natural light, you're going to get the best flat lay photo. Also holding your phone as high as you can and directly kind of parallel to the table or the surface is really helpful. And then, yeah, it's just, you know, really lighting, and like you have to set up the scene really well before you do the flat lay, and then just, you know, good lighting and a good edit and you're good. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. How long is it taking you to actually set up the scene?
Oh my God, probably a good 15, 20 minutes sometimes.
And oh, wow.
Props are necessary. Props, you have to get props. I have like a, you know, an arsenal of like props that I use, whether it's like, I don't know, sometimes I use like little like green plants, or I have like, I just bought, I joke, I'm like, I bought like a white marble coffee table, and now I never have to leave my house because it like acts as my surface. I don't have to go to like coffee shops anymore. Yeah.
Is there like a certain number of objects that should, when I try to do flat lay, I always feel like, but something's missing. It just never feels quite right. And I feel like you nail it every single time. So do you have like a mental, I need X number of things in this photograph?
I always say it's all about the spacing. Like as long as things are spaced out correctly, like I usually try to put probably like 4 or 5 things. And sometimes it's things that are just like, they don't even feel like they're part of the photo. Like in one of my recent flat lays, I had like a magazine that I had flipped open just to kind of have like more like imagery in there, and colors is really important. So just coordinating that some of the colors match. So if you have like something like green, I would try to find like a plant, or if you have something like orange, try to match like maybe put some oranges and lemons. Like you can use things that are around your house as kind of like props that don't really feel a part of the photo, but they kind of just take up space so that everything's spaced out correctly.
Perfect. That's good insight, because I'm obviously most of the optometrists are going to be talking about photographing frames they carry in their optical. So kind of create a color story, yeah, within that frame.
Absolutely, yeah.
So let's dive a little bit more into this travel. I mean, you've been everywhere from Morocco to Cuba to everywhere else in the world. Tell us a little bit more about the process whenever you're traveling.
Oh my God. For me, travel is like my relief from everything. So I try to, plan out things that I want to do in those cities. And I'm always kind of looking for inspiration on Pinterest or Instagram before I travel to just kind of plan out my vacation. Obviously, the photography is part of it. I want to go to places that are, you know, really inspiring, that look really beautiful, so that I could, you know, photograph them. And I kind of have like a plan before I go, like which spots I want to definitely hit up, where I want to eat. So I try to like incorporate that into my travels. And I have people all the time who are like, oh, when you travel, is all you do is take pictures? And I was like, no. It's like one morning that you kind of go out, or like, you know, an afternoon where you plan out a couple days and take those photos. And then I'm like, you just run them through the rest of your trip. And like, you know, for weeks after that, really. Morocco, we were there for like 6 days. And I think I ran those photos on my Instagram for like 3 weeks after. Because, you know, I'm like, you just get so much content. But it really is about like traveling and being there and being a part of it and really like being present and absorbing all of it. And then, you know, having the beautiful photos to kind of like showcase after, during your trip.
If you don't know Dr. Jen and Juice off of Instagram, you need to know her. You two need to become best friends, because you two are identical, and you would be the best buddies when it comes to taking pictures. So please look her up.
No, it's so funny. I actually saw a article recently from Defocus Media featuring her, and I followed her on Instagram, and I promise you, I just DM'd her like 2 days ago being like, we need to be friends when you're back from Morocco. We need to meet up. So she responded back yesterday. We're hopefully going to go for coffee when she comes back from her trip.
Because y'all are even in the same city.
Yeah, we're in the same city. I'm like, she loves to travel. Like, she's like, so cute. And like an optometrist says, like, we need to connect. So yeah, I sent her a message just like literally, like, I think it was like Thursday or something. I was like, I need to reach out to her. Like, this girl looks fabulous.
Yeah, I think you two will make it happen and really hit it off. I mean, like I said, from travel to fashion to the way you do your imagery, I mean, it's dead on. So I'm looking forward to the first photo shoot. And please give credit to Defocus Media
We absolutely will. You guys are the ones that connected us. I love it.
Awesome.
Well, we're talking about travel and how you plan out, you know, a part of your trip at least to get this content that you're going to recycle over and over on your social media. Well, because a lot of changes have been happening in social media. I know Instagram changed their algorithms earlier this year, and then Instagram TV just came out. Yeah. What is new in social media that you're excited to get into right now?
Honestly, it's so hard because I feel like Instagram is becoming such a place that is like, there's so much happening with like IGTV and Instagram stories. I really like Instagram stories. I kind of, my hope for the next few months is to get better at doing them. I'm super nervous in front of like video or even audio, just because I'm like, it's easier when I can like curate everything. It's harder for me when I'm like, oh my God, there's a camera in front of my face. Like, what do I do? Like, ah. So I want to get better at like connecting with my audience on Insta stories. IGTV, I'm just like, it's another realm. Like, I feel like I have never done YouTube. I've never really been on video that much. So I don't know if I'm going to be comfortable enough to do that. Like, we'll see, you know, to be, I don't know. Like, we'll figure that out if that happens. So I feel like there's just so much going on right now with Instagram that it's hard to keep up, especially when you have a full-time job. I definitely want to do more on my blog because I feel like that's something that stays there. Like, it's on the net. It's going to stay there. Like, whether the algorithm changes, like, your content on your website doesn't change. So I feel like that's an area I definitely want to focus more on writing about optometry. But yeah, as far as Instagram, I think Insta stories is probably what I'm the most excited about right now.
So is Instagram it? I mean, outside of your blog, are you also doing Facebook, LinkedIn? I mean, what other platforms are you utilizing?
I'm not utilizing it enough, to be honest. It's like one of those things that I have such a hard time, and I would love to like probably address this at some point in a future post, but like juggling the two is really difficult. Like, between, I work like 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, and then shooting content and curating it and, you know, for the Instagram, it seems like a lot. And me personally, I'm not on Facebook that much anymore. And so I don't really use Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter. It really is between the website and Instagram. And I feel like having those two platforms, it like at least focuses my energy in those two places, and it doesn't distract me too much.
Well, I totally understand. We've gone through the same thing at Defocus, where we started out using a lot of platforms, and now we've kind of whittled it down to just two. Because like you said, we still have life going on. Daryl and I are both working full-time as well. And I think that's such a good picture that you're painting, because when you look at your Instagram, it makes it look like you live this life of fabulous leisure. You're traveling all the time. You're a model, basically. But the truth is, you are working hard to make this happen. And that's something that you're doing in your spare time. So working 6 days a week to make this happen. And that's a story that we often don't tell on Instagram.
Yeah, it's so true. I went home recently, and I'm from like Midwest Canada, and it's like kind of a smaller town. And people were like, oh, so are you even practicing anymore? Like, are you a model? And I was like, no. Like, I am practicing, like, not a model. And I'm 5'4", like, no. But, you know, I was like, no, I'm practicing still. And I'm practicing full time, you know, but it's just like, it obviously paints a very different picture on social media. And it's like, reality is, I always tell people, I'm like, it's our highlight reel, very much so. Like, that's, you know, the fun stuff I'm doing and the travel stuff. But, you know, me tired as hell in the clinic, not cute, right? Like, not going on my Instagram. Yeah. So
tell us a little bit more about your clinic life. I mean, what is it that you like to do inside a clinic? Do you have a specialty, or are you big into luxury eyewear? I mean, tell us your everyday hustle.
Yeah. So our clinic, we have a few of them in the city, in New York, in Manhattan, one in East Hampton, and it's luxury eyewear, which I really enjoy because I love, you know, like Dita and Tom Brown and all these like great lines that we carry, Celine. I love focusing on dry eye in my personal practice. That's like something I've struggled with for years and years. And so dry eye is like something I love talking to my patients about. New York in general, I think, is super dry. A lot of people are on the computer for like 10, 12, 16 hours a day because everyone's a workaholic. And so a lot of my patients, probably 80% or more, come in with dry eyes. So punctal plugs is like my big thing. I love fitting everyone with punctal plugs, more just because it's worked for me so well in the past that it's it's something that I love offering to my patients. So yeah, I would say that dry eyes and luxury eyewear.
That's so fun. So like, here I have like the monocle muse and like how she exists in my head. And like, who knew? She was a huge punctal plug person.
Yeah. Huge punctal plug fan. It's so funny. Like, I'll be at like dinner parties and like my roommates, I was just like, are you talking about punctal plugs again? Are you convincing people to get punctal plugs? I'm like, yeah, that's yes. Everyone needs punctal plugs.
All right. Well, let me nerd out with you for a second, because how do you decide? This is my constant debate. Xiidra or punctal plugs? Like, when do you decide what should be your first line treatment?
Punctal plugs every time. Only because, I mean, no shade to Xiidra, but like I tried Xiidra myself and I'm always like, I will never do anything for my patients that I already haven't like backed and like tried myself. So I tried Xiidra and I got that like metallic taste in my throat.
Oh yeah.
And so I was like, not, I don't love this. And so I don't know, punctal plugs is just like, it feels more natural. It feels more, you know, they don't have to like constantly be putting something in their eyes. You know, it's just kind of like you do it once, it's good for 3 months. Like, it's very low maintenance.
And so you're using dissolvable plugs and just having them replace every 3 months.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how I tell my patients I prefer to do it too.
Yeah.
I know they don't want to come in every 3 months to get new ones, but it's just so much safer.
So much safer, so much easier. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you two are really geeking out on dry eye. I mean, I love dry eye, but y'all taking it to the next level. But switching gears here, let's talk about some eyewear. What's your favorite eyewear designer that's out there?
Oh my God, Caroline Abrams is one that we started carrying recently, and I absolutely love her. She's an optician. She's from Paris. She has this fantastic line. Like, her glasses are just so chic, and they have this like Parisian, European like vibe, and they're so beautiful and so well made. And the price point's okay. It's not too outrageous. So yeah, I just love her stuff. And like, their branding is amazing. Their POP is amazing. It's just all good.
Oh yeah. I love that brand. And just her in general, when she walks by, you like, she draws your attention. I mean, from the eyewear to her look, her style. I mean, that brand definitely knows how to brand for sure.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous. I actually found out recently that like her last campaign, she was the model in every single photo. Like, the redhead and the blonde and all the girls were her, and she just dyed her hair different colors apparently.
Wow.
We're going to have to look that campaign up.
Yeah, go look at it. I was like shocked. I was like, that is brilliant. Like, I loved it.
So what's next for the Monocle Muse in 2018 and beyond?
I think it's going to be a lot more writing on the blog and just kind of focusing on building up the website, creating more content for the Instagram, traveling a little bit more later this year to, you know, get some more travel photos in there. And hopefully just, you know, inspiring my audience more.
And don't forget linking up with Dr. Jen and Juice too. We got to see that collaboration.
Absolutely. And I would love, yeah. Oh my God, that is going to be so good. I have a feeling you're right. It's going to be, we're going to just click.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been such a pleasure to get to know the person behind the Instagram fabulousness. And so excited to see what you do next.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.